2 Samuel chapter 11. Now, this is where David falls into sin, and I always hate reading this chapter, really, because David was such a good man, and yet he messes up, just like all of us mess up, and it all seems such a shame and so avoidable. So, it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem. But this was the time when kings should go to battle, but David doesn't. He's getting old and flabby. And he sends his servant, Joab, to go and fight when he should have gone forth to fight. And so he was staying at Jerusalem rather than doing God's work, and he falls into sin. One of the reasons that God gives us his work to do, and I think work generally, in life, in the sweat of your face you eat bread, as was said in the Garden of Eden, is so that we are not idle, but we live in a generation where to be lazy and to be idle and to just sit around and basically do nothing is seen as really cool. But unfortunately, that leads you into temptation. So it happened one evening that David got off from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. They had flat roofs in those days. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. So Bathsheba must have lived next door to David, because she's washing herself, and he can see that from his roof. And in those days, I guess people would have washed outside. Hot climate, etc., not like Latvia where it's cold and you can really wash outside in the winter. But she was washing outside, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Isn't this Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, wife of Uriah the Hittite?" In other words, saying, "Surely you can't, David. This is Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah." And he was one of David's faithful fighting men who'd risked his life for David. David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned to her house. So then, she'd probably been washing herself in obedience to the law of Moses, that said if you became unclean, you had to wash yourself and be unclean until the evening. And so it was now evening. So he thought, oh yeah, she's obedient to the law. But see, this is how people reason. Oh, I can be obedient to God's law in this aspect and then go and do a really big sin in another way. Just like the Jews when they crucified Jesus, they were all very careful to be obedient to the Passover and not to defile themselves, and to be very careful that they didn't take the money that Judas had given back to them and put that in the temple treasury, and all hyper careful about obedience in one sense, and then going off and doing the worst possible thing, which was murdering the Son of God. The woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I'm with child." Well, in those days, most people couldn't read or write. So when she sent and told David, she'd have told a messenger. And of course, the messenger would have then told other people. So it all gets spread around. David sent to Joab saying, he's the commander of the army, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." Now, he was at the front fighting in Rabbah, in the area of Ammon. So David sends to the general, Joab, and says, "Tell Uriah to come back to me." And Joab sent Uriah back to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was doing and how the people were doing and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." Uriah departed from the king's house, and there followed him a portion of food from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and didn't go to his house. I think the idea is David was saying to Uriah, "You go and sleep with your wife," because then he thought, oh yeah, well, if she gets pregnant, well, they can say that it's Uriah's baby, etc. But Uriah, I think, realizes what's going on, because as I say, all the sending of messages by messengers, it would have all been gossiped around. And that's why he sleeps that night with the other servants of David. They'd probably told him. And he didn't go down to his house. When they told David, saying, "Uriah didn't go to his house," David said to Uriah, "Didn't you come from your journey? Why didn't you go to your house?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing." David said to Uriah, "Stay here today, and tomorrow I'll let you go." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the next day. When David had called him, he ate and drank before him, and David made him drunk. What a terrible thing to make someone else drunk. This is the David who wrote all these lovely psalms. And at evening he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but he would not go down to his house. This is even when he's drunk, he realizes what's going on. And in the morning David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, "Put Uriah in the front of the hottest battle, and then retreat from him so that he can be killed and die." It came to pass when Joab looked at the city that he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew that very brave warriors were. The men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite also died. So because of this foolish thing that David did, not only Uriah died, but also these other men. And they also would have had children and wives and parents, etc. Joab sent and told David how the war was going, and he told the messenger, saying, "When you've made an end of telling these things to the king, and if the king gets angry, and if he says to you, 'Why did you approach so near to the city wall when you were fighting? Didn't you know they'd shoot from there, from the wall? Who killed Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal? Didn't a woman throwing a piece of a millstone upon him from the wall so that he died in Thebes? Why did you go so near the wall?' Then say to him, 'Your servant Uriah the Hittite is also dead.'" And so the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. The messenger said to David, "Surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them even to the entering of the gate. But the archers shot from off the wall unto your servants, and some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant Uriah the Hittite is also dead." And David said to the messenger, "Thus shall you tell Joab, 'Let not this thing displease you, for the sword devours one as well as another. Make your battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage him.'" When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Well, it's not until sometime later, after the baby has been born, that we're going to read in the next chapter of God's judgment for this. So you can sin and apparently God does nothing. But the apparent silence of God does not mean that he doesn't notice. The apparent silence of God at this point was actually to give David the chance to repent. And it seems he didn't of his own volition, and so Nathan the prophet has to come to him. So don't think God doesn't notice. And also, when people do mean things to you, like David did to Uriah, don't think that God doesn't notice. It appears that he doesn't. But God pays his debts, and God will not be mocked. And God, in the end, is very, very sensitive to all that we do. It's just that he doesn't immediately show his feelings.